This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop now.
Released. That's not border enforcement.
And basically, there's a deadline now. Or a perceived deadline.
But sanctuary cities were a scandal before Trump. There's a device of federal authority. Federal authority is legitimate. The people who did this in the past were the racists in the South who defied federal authority on civil rights. So now it's in the name of something that appears to be humanitarian. But it should be. It's something that should not be allowed. The Democrats have tolerated it. And I think Trump would be within his rights to withhold funds, and he should. And the Democrats are making a big bet and a mistaken one if they decide they're going to defy the federal government and what seems to be common sense, control your borders.
As the Democratic Party tries to find out a way.
Well, you know, what Krautheimer brings to bear here is consistent with our conversation that we had with, with Sebastian Gorka in the first hour. You know, and some misunderstanding still going out there. And you heard the photographer, Tom Stoddard, and I didn't want to get too deep into it because I wanted to make sure we spent more time on, you know, the museum and what he has done and the four other photographers there. I mean, it's quite a show. Most incredible when you think about it. When you're looking at these photos, you can come up with your own commentary and not have somebody else. I mean, see it for what it is based on your worldview. How those pictures affect you. But when it comes to sanctuary cities and the protection of American citizens and a wall, you know, I believe it, this false narrative out there that, you know, we should be building bridges and not walls. Well, we have bridges already. I mean, we have ways to connect. It's not like we're so enclosing ourselves that we're not involved whatsoever with the international community. Of course, we have to be. For all the right reasons, you know, trade reasons, people who are in trouble, you know, these refugee issues, how do you respond to them responsibly? But just to say, well, you know, to use the bumper sticker, let's build bridges and not walls. You know, what are walls for? You got to think about initially in just about every country that has any concern for what it believes in has walls. I mean, even Mexico has walls. They protect, their southern border, and they're very strict. In fact, their immigration much more strict by comparison than what we have. And yet everybody is so shocked. Walls are there for a reason. It establishes your country. It confines and demarcates where laws begin and end, where our laws and their laws, you know, are separated. What's wrong with that, Scott?
There's nothing wrong with that. And if your immigration laws are actually enforced, then you don't need to build walls.
Right.
Because then you have a wall of words, if you will. Try and get in Canada if you have a DUI.
Yeah.
Go ahead, give it a whirl.
Right.
If you've had a DUI within 20 years, they won't even let you into the country.
Mm.
You have to go through a whole sidestep of programs if you just want to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who went up, he had a DUI, and he wanted to go fishing in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
He had a whole six-month process before he even got to come into the country just so he could go fishing for a week.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you enforce the laws that you have, then you don't have to erect a wall.
And again, why are they there? Why are the laws in place?
Well, they're there because it allows you to control who enters your country.
And it protects your citizens. I mean, look at it. If you got some knucklehead coming in, and you're on your 19th year and, you know, all is forgiven and that sort of thing. But yet in Canada, hey, you're not going to be forgiven until you hit 20 years. That's their rules because they're protecting their people because they don't want people coming in. I mean, because if you want to know what somebody will do, look at what they've done. If they've demonstrated a pattern of irresponsibility and drive while drunk, why do you want America's problems brought into your shores? You know, maybe we could learn something from that. Walls can be a good thing. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. We're coming at 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, if you thought a couple Tuesdays ago was all you had to do, let me tell you, hey, it's only just begun, as Karen Carpenter would sing. You know, we've got to stay vigilant, not only for the cause of getting this country back on track, but even to the point that we hold those that we've entrusted once again with our vote to do what it is that they said they were going to do. For the first time in near 100 years, the Republicans have the Oval Office. They have both houses of Congress, and shortly the conservative vote will have the advantage in the Supreme Court. And my hope and prayer is that they do not mess this opportunity up. Julie Kelly is with us. It's always good to have Julie. She's one of the leading voices in the increasingly contentious debate about America's food system. As a staunch defender of American agriculture and a promoter of biotechnological uses such as genetically engineered foods, she's taken on the organic industry, environmental agencies, and celebrity chefs. Her mission is to get the truth about our food out there before us, and she radically pursues that. And when I say radically, I mean passionately. That's what I mean by this. Julie Kelly, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me. Doing great. Thank you.
Well, wonderful. I appreciate the headline of your column, Why This Educated Suburban Mom Voted for Trump, because that's a contraindication of what the media and what the Democratic narrative is about, you know, moms that, you know, even educated ones, you know, only the educated ones voted Democrat, that it was those, you know, less than educated moms out there that didn't really understand what was going on, they fell victim to the Trump charm, I guess.
Right. And, you know, Bill, I wrote this comment with a departure from what I usually write about, which you indicated earlier about food and biotechnology. But after months of listening to talking heads suggest how educated suburban white moms were going to vote, and of course it didn't materialize, I kind of unleashed, and it was also after days of taking abuse on social media, getting called all kinds of names for voting for Trump. So I decided to write that piece explaining how a lot of people in my social circles, suburban moms, had been were supportive of Trump for varying reasons and varying levels of support for Mr. Trump. But I felt like it was an important story to tell and to explain. Mm-hmm. And so what I refer to in some of my other interviews is the media was Trump shaming us. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to make us feel like there was something wrong with us if we were voting for Donald Trump. And that was really the undertow of what the media and political commentators were trying to express to us. And it didn't work.
Well, you know, and I appreciate the pushback, because there has to be a counter narrative to their false narrative. Because, Julie, you know, before you believe it, even other, you know, educated suburban moms think that maybe they're more the exception than the rule because, you know, the facts are being distorted, numbers are being twisted inside out to give some sort of premise and some credibility to something that lacks total credibility, and that's this argument that, you know, educated suburban moms, you know, just... you know, they had to go Democrat because they're educated, because this is an, you know, if you're smart, then you're going to vote Democrat, right?
Right. And I do think that that was a part of it. Now, they make that assumption every 4 years, too. And I think with President Obama, especially in 2008, I think that that really was the case. But every year they try to talk about suburban moms and major, and I'm outside of Chicago, outside of major metropolitan areas, and how we are going to vote because we could just never tolerate a John, you know, John McCain or Mitt Romney, mm-hmm. certainly Donald Trump. And so the data, early data from exit polling shows that that did not really materialize. I mean, mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton won white, educated women by a margin of 51 to 46, which was not what they were anticipating at all. Mm-hmm. And so lucky for us, we, you know, my social circle is very engaged in politics. We all have kids ranging from grade school through college and college graduates. So we're very concerned about, you know, the world that they are entering, particularly an unsafe world, and mm-hmm. and whether there are going to be higher taxes and make it harder to send kids to college and pay for them to go to college. You know, we're not looking for handouts. But, you know, most of my friends right. pay for their kids to go to school, and more regulations on their small businesses. So I think the media was just trying to make us think that because Donald Trump made a few comments that were inappropriate, and they blew it up 100 times more than it needed to be, that we weren't going to look beyond that and look to policy. And as I said, Bill, in my article, and it's on the Federalist, mm-hmm. The unifying factor was our disgust and disdain for Hillary Clinton. That was what it, most of our votes also boiled down to, that she wasn't trustworthy, and aside from that, her policies would be a third Obama administration, which right. we didn't want either.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, it proves that character does count, doesn't it?
Well, it really does. And, you know, I think, too, Hillary Clinton, to this degree, she was held to a different standard as a woman candidate. We're used to male politicians being corrupt, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the percentage of male politicians versus female who've been indicted on political corruption charges, it's a pretty big margin. when a woman does it, I think it cuts a little bit deeper for women. We want to trust you. We connect on a different level. Mm-hmm. So if we feel that you are corrupt, if you're covering up, if you lack integrity and lack credibility, I think it impacts us a little bit more than, say, if it were a male candidate. So mm-hmm. to that extent, maybe she was held to a higher standard or a different standard, because there was a really palpable disdain and dislike towards her from almost all of the women that I know.
Well, when you asked what did she accomplish in serving we the people, you hear crickets time and again. And even the things that she presented, it seemed a bit hollow. And, you know, it's like anybody says, the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you know, you want to look at what somebody's going to do, look what they've done. But I got to look back on your resume and say, okay, what did you accomplish in any of these areas? And the list, you know, particularly as Secretary of State, was quite daunting and disturbing, and it made it difficult. And for those people, and I say those, you know, whether it's women, young girls, and fathers of young girls that want to encourage, you know, our daughters to, you know, to forget about this glass ceiling, you know, this alleged glass ceiling, you know, go for it. You know, here it is that, you know, potentially we could have the first female president. You know, the ceiling was going to break through, and this was going to open up all kinds of opportunities. You know, some disappointment because, but the fact of the matter is that character does count. The cream always rises, and you know, but you can't be that flawed and expect to you know, earn the you know, the number one office in the land.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Bill, I have two daughters of my own, 16 and 12, and they were Trump supporters. The fact that Hillary Clinton was a woman running for president never really affected them or impacted them at all. Mm-hmm. And they were thrilled when he won. So I must be doing something kind of right.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they are, and we can continue to pray that this country continues to pursue the truth and all is well once again.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of health care that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable health care that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain health care costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. TLC Laser Eye Centers is now offering great prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology for less than what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-933-1427. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's $200 off per eye. We've already performed over 2 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve for less than what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-933-1427. 1-800-933-1427.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Attention, everyone. Everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. Please do not turn off your radio.
This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Like us on Facebook. Get involved with the conversation at Twitter at B. Martinez Live. You know, whether it's off to Grandma's house for Turkey Day or a New Year's cruise to the Caribbean, nearly 150 million Americans are going to travel 50 miles or more for Thanksgiving and December holidays. With that many people on the go, it's important that families plan in advance for a safe and healthy journey. That needs to be all part of the package, right? You know, sometimes you take it for granted and you, until it's too late, until you find yourself, you know, in a compromising situation when it, in regards to your health. Well, just in time for Thanksgiving, Angela Patterson, she's a chief nurse practitioner officer, for Minute Clinic, is offering some healthy recommendations and advice before you get on that trip. Angela Patterson, Chief Nurse Practitioner Officer for Minute Clinic. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. I mean, you know, we can take that for granted. You know, we're get caught up in the hustle bustle, the eagerness to get off to grandma's house or get to our holiday destination, that, you know, with a little bit of planning, we can, you know, make sure that we're, you know, we've considered any kind of health considerations before we get on that holiday seasonal trip, right?
Absolutely. We do a lot of planning for our holidays and look forward to our events, and certainly an illness or one of our family members becoming ill can really make the trip challenging.
So what are some of the tips for us to stay healthy?
As we prepare for the holiday and travel season, key tips include a few things. One is focus on good health practices before you go and during your trip, and this includes ensuring adequate rest and sleep, good nutrition and exercise, all of the things that are tremendous health and immune system boosters.
Exactly.
Secondly, we want to ensure that we're working towards the minimizing the spread of germs, cold, and flu bugs. Practicing good hand and cough hygiene are great ways to minimize that spread. Before we travel, make sure that we're packing a care bag, including not only our daily prescription medications, but also things that we may need if someone becomes ill or has an injury on our trip. Things like, you know, a multi-system symptom cold medicine or an anti-diarrheal, pain relievers, fever reducers such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen, or making sure we have things like enough adhesive strips and antibacterial ointment on hand. And then the last tip I would give is protecting oneself whenever possible against communicable illnesses. First and foremost, vaccinating with the flu shot. As we travel, we have greater risk of exposure to circulating viruses, and protecting ourselves with immunization against the flu is a key recommendation. In the same venue, if we're traveling abroad, traveling outside the United States, especially areas like tropical areas, the Caribbean, Asia, Africa, overseas, it's important that we have a pre-travel assessment to ensure that we're being vaccinated against certain illnesses or conditions such as malaria if we're traveling to the tropics, or typhoid or hepatitis A if we're traveling to an industrialized country, for example. Very important to maintain our health.
Right. And I imagine that the risk, I mean, you're mitigating risk all the way through. So if you're in a situation where you're traveling a lot in an airplane where the air is circulated, and it can be tough. You know, I've been on so many trips where, you know, people, you know, they need to get to their destination and they're just not necessarily considerate of the rest of us who aren't, you know, that aren't sick. And it is, boy, you watch the body language right away, Angela, when, you know, whether somebody's coughing and they're not, you know, practicing, you know, proper etiquette. I mean, in some cases, you know, you wish the people would, wear a mask to try to protect the rest of us.
Absolutely. Air travel as well as, you know, train travel or even, you know, being
any
on a
confined
cruise ship,
spot,
for example,
right?
Where you're,
yeah.
Go ahead. When you're around a lot of folks, it definitely can increase your risk. And again, I think focusing on keeping your body strong through good, healthy habits day to day, always practicing good hand hygiene and cough hygiene if you yourself are feeling under the weather, and ensuring that you're properly vaccinated against communicable illnesses such as the flu, especially during this time of the year, are really ways to help prevent getting sick during the season.
Well, speaking of travel, you know, in some cases, some families have to deal with children that are prone to get car sick. What do you recommend?
Yeah, this, as a mom whose youngest son was very prone to getting car sick, I certainly can empathize. And there are some real simple measures that you can take to prevent this from happening. First, ensure that be prior to the trip, stick to very light meals, nothing greasy, nothing fatty. Mm-hmm. Ensure that your child is sitting in a position where they can see the road, whether over or between seats. Reading or watching movies, those kinds of activities in the car can actually trigger car sickness, so it's good to avoid those activities. And certainly at the earliest signs of nausea and queasiness, discontinue those activities if they're happening. Have your child recline as much as possible, close their eyes. Fresh air helps a lot. Make sure that you eliminate smells in the car. These strategies can really help to mitigate those early signs of nausea from car sickness.
Well, Angela, you touched on some vaccinations that we should be aware of, but there's vaccinations, that especially if you're traveling, to the tropics and other places abroad, that you should be aware of as well. How can the folks obtain them?
If you're traveling abroad, it's important that you have a pre-travel assessment. Pre-travel assessments can be obtained by your primary care provider. We offer pre-travel counseling and needed vaccinations and health counseling here at MinuteClinic as well. And it's important, particularly, for example, folks visiting the tropics where malaria is a threat, receiving a prescription for oral antimalarial medication that you would take before and during and after your trip is an important strategy to minimize that health risk, as well as other conditions. It depends on the region, but areas that we assess for is the need for immunization against typhoid fever or hepatitis A, for example, or even having a prescription for an antibiotic that would be specific to treat traveler's diarrhea is a good idea,
right,
as that can lead to dehydration and really ruin your trip.
Exactly. Now, what options for care are available, during the holidays if you become ill while you're away? I mean, your natural, your normal practitioner is not there. You're on the road. So what practical ideas do you have for us on that?
Absolutely. And this can be really challenging for folks when they need care and they're not within distance of their primary care provider. Certainly when we're experiencing a critical, severe health issue, the emergency room is the appropriate setting. But in situations where we have minor illnesses such as earache, sore throat, sinus infections, fever, or minor injuries such as ankle sprains, for example, MinuteClinic, a walk-in medical clinic located in select CVS pharmacies and Target locations, is a tremendous option in providing access to affordable, quality health care. No appointment is needed. We accept most insurances, and we're open 7 days a week, including those evening hours. And even on those holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's Day, we have at least one location available, if not more, in the cities we serve.
Mm. Angela, this year has been rather odd when it comes to cold. Sometimes we enter into cold and flu seasons, but for some reason, I don't know what it is, it seemed like the cold season went for the entire year. Kind of odd. And everybody has a different recommendation as to what to do in order to get through the cold or flu more quickly. You're the expert. What do you recommend?
Well, I think throughout the year, viruses and bugs and germs certainly circulate throughout the year, and it tends to be more concentrated during the winter months. And every year, you can see different patterns. So it's important all year long that in addition to keeping our body strong, practicing good hand and cough hygiene when we're coming down with something are important things. But as an important piece is immunizations, and when the flu shot becomes available, it's important that we work towards immunizing ourselves against influenza infection. I would say, particularly in the winter months, that's our biggest risk.
Exactly. Well, Angela, we're out of time. I want to remind everybody you can go to MinuteClinic.com for all the information. Angela Patterson has been with us. Thank you, Angela.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details. It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
DC bureaucrats, you're not getting away with it. Lil Martinez live.
Martinez live.
Well, I got to tell you, if you want to send the message to the D.C. bureaucrats, your vote does matter. And tomorrow is the day for those that have not voted early. Make sure you do. And I say whenever possible, make sure you take somebody along with you, okay? It's just about 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Our next guest is the mother of Christian Saucier. And we're going to be talking with his mother, Kathleen, in just a moment. You may have heard this story, especially in light of the comparative of what is going on federally, especially with Hillary Clinton. Okay, a federal judge in August sentenced former Navy machinist Christian Saucier to 1 year in prison and a $100 fine for taking photos inside the engine room of a nuclear submarine after the sailor's attorney argued for leniency by citing the FBI's decision not to charge Hillary Clinton with mishandling classified information. Now, is there a double standard? Well, first, let's bring his mom on, Kathleen Saucier, who's worked in the field of community mental health since 1991. She started her career in the field of domestic violence and sexual assault as an advocate, completed her graduate degree and obtained her mental health license in both Florida and Connecticut, as well as a national certification for counseling. Kathleen, welcome to Bill Martinez Live.
Yes, thank you so much, Bill, for giving us the opportunity, me the opportunity to speak out against what myself and many others see as a clear double standard in our judicial system.
Well, let's consider, what your son
did. What he was, I guess he was convicted of, in his career in the U.S. Navy. I mean, he had already, what had he given? 10 years already to the Navy, right?
Right, 11 years actually as of this year, and as he joined right out of high school, he was 22 years old in 2009 when he took photos on his cell phone, which at the time in 2009 there was not a cell phone ban on submarines. Many of the young men, unfortunately, were taking photos. Mm-hmm. They knew they were classified areas. They knew they shouldn't have been doing it, but they did. Many of them, two in fact, had been brought forward in Navy hearings, which is called a captain's mass mm-hmm. hearing,
yes.
And they received a reduction in rank and a fine of $560. Unfortunately, my son's cell phone was located outside of the Navy's purview, and so he was then brought on charges, civilian charges, through the Department of Justice as well as the FBI, and he pled guilty this year and was sentenced in August and just started serving his one-year sentence in federal prison on October 12th.
Now, what will this mean for his career? Is his career done now in the Navy?
Yes, he had to go to an administrative separation hearing, and he was given another than honorable discharge, which will also mean that he's losing all of his military benefits as well as his VA benefits. He was scheduled to go forward with a medical discharge hearing because he has multiple physical injuries as well as mental health, unfortunately, from his multiple deployments that were service-connected by the VA. He will now lose all those benefits as well.
Wow, there's a lot more involved here than a young man, as you say, doing what, young boys did. I mean, in 2009, how old was he then?
22.
So 22 years old, and he's doing what young men do, even though they know they're not supposed to be doing this. But you put a cell phone with a camera in young people's hands, and they do what they do. I mean, they take pictures. I mean, we are such a selfie-oriented society these days, and he was on the cutting edge of it. Was his single ambition of taking photos was just to chronicle, this was part of his career? Or, I mean, obviously, I mean, if it was to, be complicit in some sort of espionage, the phone wouldn't have ended up where it did.
Right. And I appreciate you for bringing that forward and making that point, because one of the things that the judge in his sentencing hearing stated was that he felt there was no evidence whatsoever that my son ever had any ill intention with those photos, that he had made what the judge classified as a very dangerous mistake, which is mishandling classified information. I mean, if we look at the similarities, and we're talking about the double standards, so
yes.
Both Hillary Clinton and my son had classified information on an insecure device. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Hmm. They've never denied that, well, they did, but now they can't deny that Hillary Clinton had classified documents. And one thing, let's clarify it as well, the classification of the photos that my son took were the lowest level of classification that there is in the classification system, those photos in that area. Whereas Hillary Clinton, the emails, many of them that were found on her server, to be on that server, transmitted from that server, were at higher level of classification, very high level, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, lives were, gone. I mean, look at Benghazi. Men died because of things that were on that server that were transmitted. So I think we have to look at the double standard. So my son, both of them had classified information on an insecure device, both
mm-hmm.
of them. Both of them received training that they shouldn't have done that, and yet both of them did it. Where it changes, where it really changes, I think, is that there's no evidence whatsoever that my son ever transmitted those photos, nor did he have any intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the interesting part about the crime or the law for mishandling classified information. Intent is not required. The judge stated that it's the mere risk of having that document or something of classification on an insecure device. The risk itself is the crime.
Exactly.
So, right. So.
Well, that's the double standard that comes into play here, because here a judge goes according to the law on your son, but yet the FBI finds a way to skirt around it with Hillary Clinton.
Right, and that's the thing, I think, the point that we've been trying to get across, myself and many others who have stepped up. We started a Facebook page called American patriots against double standards. And it's not just about my son's case, but it's exactly what you said, is that we're not saying Chris isn't guilty. He accepted responsibility. He pled guilty. He's been sentenced. He's sitting in prison. What we're saying is there's a double standard for people such as Hillary Clinton and her staff. I mean, you don't have people plead the fifth or get immunity unless there's some level of concern there.
Right, exactly. Well, Kathleen, for Chris, you know, he's serving his sentence. The consequences are enormous. There's a lot on the line. Is there any hope for any kind of remedy down the road or an appeal on this?
Well, first I want to acknowledge the fact that he's now 30. He's married to a beautiful woman who stood by him through this horrible nightmare. Mm-hmm. And he has a one-year-old daughter. So, you know, he's away from them. The consequences, as you said, not to mention the financial enormities of this, we've all lost everything that we've saved for his defense. So with regards to an appeal, unfortunately, part of the plea agreement that the Department of Justice and the FBI put in front of my son as his only option was there is no appeal, and he had to sign and agree that there'd be no appeal, because they were trying to go for 10 years in federal prison, and the only way that we could get him to have less than 10 years was for him to take this plea agreement. In addition, unfortunately, because he was sentenced to exactly 1 year in prison in the federal system, there's no time off for good behavior unless you're sentenced at 366 days versus 365. So not only did he not have the opportunity for an appeal, or does he not have an opportunity for an appeal, he also does not have an opportunity to have time off for good behavior. So we have, as a family, made a decision that we are not going to allow this, what happened to our family, to go unheard. And we're fighting and screaming and yelling about double standards, not just for my son, but for many other Americans. And I think that's the part that I want everyone to think about. I put a personal statement on our Facebook page in light of Comey's recent, where he said, oh, there's nothing there. I feel that we all need to think about this when we walk into that voting booth tomorrow.
Exactly.
Because this could be any other American patriot and their family.
Exactly. Well, Kathleen, we got a couple seconds left. How can people be in touch with your Facebook? Where do you want to direct them?
Yes, American Patriots Against Double Standards. Please sign on. Please join us. We have over 14,000 people already in just a few weeks that we've been online.
Well, that's great. Well, Kathleen, we're out of time. Kathleen Saucier, I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Kathleen.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious. And that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312. 800-617-9312.
This report is brought to you by Humana Medicare. As Americans make their choices in the 2016 presidential race, there's another election that's also important to people with Medicare, the Medicare Annual Election Period, AEP, to enroll in Medicare Advantage or prescription drug plans. This year's AEP lasts from October 15th through December 7th. The first step to selecting the right Medicare plan is reviewing your current health needs, looking at your healthcare budget, and anticipating any healthcare needs for 2017. This will help determine which Medicare plan is right for you. Jeff Fernandez, Vice President, Western Segment, for the Medicare Advantage products at Humana.
When identifying the best Medicare plan for you, remember the following tips. Comparison shop and research prescription drugs, and use Medicare.gov to analyze Medicare plans that cover the medications you need. Compare and consider plans that offer coverage you may need, like vision and dental benefits.
For more, visit humana.com/Medicare.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro 1 G2.0 and Pro Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Someone has to stand up and say it. Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good fight. And keep letting your light shine.
Lord, we need an army of believers. Raise up warriors who will fight on their knees. Lord, call us to battle. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up.
Keep fighting the good fight.
Bill Martinez live.
I'll tell you, the fight continues. It's not over. It's just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get this country back on track. And I thank you for joining in on the cause. It is one worth fighting for. It involves not only ourselves, but I think about our kids and our grandkids as well. And our next guest is going to enlighten us about a rather passionate founding father who I believe held the same sentiment. It's just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour right now, and we're talking about Alexander Hamilton, perhaps the least loved founding father. That's what's been said about Hamilton just a decade ago by author and historian Darren Staloff. But, man, you know, things have changed, especially if you've been to Broadway and you've tried to get tickets for the Broadway musical blockbuster that Lin-Manuel Miranda's efforts have done, and what it has done to bring to life the story of one Alexander Hamilton. It has literally taken center stage, catapulting him to transform into one of the most admired statesmen in American history. And here to tell us more is the author of the brand new book, Hamilton. Richard Silla is with us. Richard, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, it's great to be with you this morning. I'm fine.
What a wonderful book. I mean, and perfect timing in light of, you know, what's been happening in Broadway, all the awards and the talk, and how Alexander Hamilton has taken center stage. And for you, in a sense, to kind of bring it full circle and document his life with this richly illustrated biography, I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm kind of proud of the book. I think it's a very nice-looking book.
Yeah. When you started to write this book, what was your motivation? Because, I mean, you got a lot of information here, and I imagine, you know, as you thought, okay, well, I'm gonna write this story about him, but I have the sense that it took a life of its own as you were writing the book. Am I right?
Well, I'd been studying the man for half a century, roughly speaking, and so I knew him pretty well. I sometimes say Hamilton is a good friend of mine, and what I thought was that most people, What do they know about him? They know he was the first Treasury Secretary, which is why he's on the $10 bill, and they know he died in a duel with Aaron Burr. I myself think that Hamilton was, you know, much more than that. He was involved heavily in our independence and our drive for the Constitution and setting up our financial system, creating our military establishment. You know, he sort of drew up the plans for West Point and things like important safeguards of our freedom, like judicial review, what the Supreme Court does when it says the law is unconstitutional. Hamilton was involved in all of these things, which made the United States what it is. And so my hope with the book is that people who are now interested because of the buzz about Hamilton on Broadway will want to learn more about him in a nice way where they have a lot of illustrations to show what his world was like.
Exactly. And you go, it's about time. And no doubt what Lin-Manuel Miranda has done on Broadway with Hamilton. What was your thoughts? Have you had a chance to see the play yet yourself?
Oh, I've seen it three times. You know, I saw it when it first opened off Broadway. I saw it on opening night on Broadway, and just a couple weeks ago, I saw it for a third time. And it's really great. I would go again and again and again. It's just a very wonderful show.
Well, we're hoping to see it. We've got things in the works here, and it looks like we're going to be able to have our first chance to see it here in the coming weeks as we make our annual pilgrimage to New York for the holidays.
Oh, it's well worth seeing. Yeah. I hope you get a ticket.
Exactly. Well, like I said, we've got a lot of things in the works here, and looking forward to it. So for you, as you start to understand that people are appreciating someone that you studied for so long, I guess part of you say it's about time, and there is a heightened appreciation of Alexander Hamilton, you know, for all the reasons that you just mentioned, his involvement in the early founding and the infrastructure of our economic system.
That's right. I say in the book that probably his greatest achievement, because he was the only one in the country who could have done it, was setting up our financial system. Hamilton had studied financial history. It happens to be what I teach, and so I teach a lot about Hamilton studying financial history, drawing the right lessons from it. And, you know, while he was Treasury Secretary from 1789 to 1795, finance just changed in the U.S. We got the birth of the Treasury bond market. We got our first central bank. We got the U.S. dollar. We got the stock markets on Wall Street and other cities. We got a banking system because the Hamilton induced the states to charter more banks and a lot of corporations, too. So in a few years, he totally modernized our finances, and the United States was off and running as a fast-growing economy.
You know, I've often said that when you give somebody a clean canvas and allow their talents to express themselves, the results are quite wonderful. And this is what we find repeatedly occurring with our founding fathers, was what a grand opportunity. It's like, you know, let's build a country. Let's build a whole new concept, a whole political economic system. And how do we do that? When we start with a white sheet of paper and then start constructing this great American experiment that, wow, here it is, 240 years later, we're still having fun, aren't we?
That's right. And, you know, there were a lot of brilliant people involved. Benjamin Franklin was involved, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton. Those are the six great founding fathers. Hamilton was the youngest of them. You know, lived a much shorter life than the others did, and but in some ways, I think he was, you know, the most cerebral, the most intelligent of them. A lot of people say that, in modern terms, Hamilton, of all these brilliant people, Hamilton would have had the highest SATs.
Well, and then, you know, for him to come up with this economic system, like you said, he had studied this. I mean, he had the background and understanding, you know, to construct something that was in some cases unique, but yet, you know, he drew from his past experience, you know, being an immigrant coming from the West Indies, right?
Well, I think being an immigrant, he was exposed to international trade and the global economy more than most mainlanders were. You know, on the mainland, most people were farmers or people working in cities, but mostly farmers and kind of insular. But Hamilton, by coming in from the West Indies where there was an active trade, and he actually worked for a mercantile house in the West Indies, he kind of had an education when he was a teenager that he knew about the world of business, the world of trade, and he brought that knowledge to the United States. And then he, you know, studied the history of other countries, and that's what led him to believe that financial modernization was important, and that became his prime goal when he became Treasury Secretary.
Well, Professor, let me ask you this. In light of today and what was happening internationally, I mean, as you say, Hamilton was sensitive to the, you know, global implications. That was then. And here today, fast forward to the 21st century, what would he say about today's conversation about this globalism versus nationalism?
Well, I think he had a middle ground there. Of course, the world he lived in was, we didn't have a lot of free trade between countries. Britain managed his trade in a mercantilistic, highly regulated fashion. France, another great power. Remember, the United States is a very small country, less than 4 million people. France has 25 to 30 million people. Britain has 10 or 12 million people. And these countries manage their trade. And Hamilton was basically a free trader, but he said, you know, that's appropriate to a world where other countries are free traders. In our world, we're discriminated against. So he said, we have to take political actions to maximize our national interest. And that involved, you know, regulating the trade of the United States. And he did a pretty good job of it because he, you know, he kept the tariffs low enough so a lot of imports came in, and that was the main source of taxing the imports was the main source of revenue that Hamilton used to straighten out our finances.
Why did Hamilton become the least loved of the major founding fathers? I mean, it was like he was in the crosshairs. The left, the right didn't much care for him. What was going on?
Well, yeah, I think in his own time, he was a very forceful individual, and he had strong views on what ought to be done. And, of course, not everybody agreed with him. So, you know, Jefferson and Madison actually throughout most of the 1790s were opposing what Hamilton stood for. They were wanted us to be a nation of farmers, and Hamilton was doing all this modernizing stuff, including dangerous things like reintroducing modern finances and financial crises. And but in terms of today's politics, you know, Hamilton, until this musical smash hit, Hamilton was least loved because nobody in our political spectrum liked him. Mm-hmm. The left wing, the sort of Bernie Sanders types of the world, didn't like people like Hamilton because they stood for, he stood for business, finance, Wall Street, corporations.
Right.
And, you know, Bernie Sanders thinks those are things that need to be regulated more. So you might think that the conservatives or the right wing would be in favor of Hamilton, but no, they don't like him either because he was the guy who built up the strength of the federal government. He was a big government guy, and we all know that the federal government is too big and meddles too much in our affairs. And so, you know, they don't like him for that reason. And so the poor Hamilton, you know, the left doesn't like him, the right doesn't like him, and yet the country is beginning to like him because of the musical.
Well, don't they realize, I guess, maybe after all is said and done, that Hamilton, his legacy still continues? I mean, we're living pretty much in his world still, aren't we?
I think that if you actually understand what the Founding Fathers stood for, and especially Hamilton, you will realize when you study Hamilton that he stood more than 200 years ago for what defines our country today. We're very strong economically. We have our political freedoms. We have our strong military establishment. We have our free press. You know, Hamilton founded the New York Post. Just so many things that Hamilton was involved in that, you know, later on became the defining characteristics of our country. And so I think, you know, in that sense, he was maybe the most important of the Founding Fathers.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing your 50 years of experience with Hamilton.
My name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I have been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
why.